and welcome to the Dr. Denise Show. I'm Kathleen O'Toole. This carve-out series of the Dr. Denise Show is called On Staying Sane. And we're staying sane, aren't we, Dr. D?
Oh, yeah. Welcome to Planet
Earth.
Every day, it's a new ride.
Well, today is a new ride. Planet Earth is always on to something. The news of the day is Twitter. So Twitter has been bought. You know, the details are still coming out, but it's a multi-billion dollar purchase by Elon Musk. And it immediately sent Dr. Denise and I thinking, because Dr. Denise has a very personal Twitter story that she wants to share, and we can kind of learn how she alchemized that. And I think there's some takeaways for all of us. So Dr. Denise, what happened to you on Twitter?
Well, let me just start. I had a really great experience. I had quite the ride from 2014 up until 2021. It's a nice 7 year. I got really active on Twitter starting in 2016. I had almost like 42,000 tweets, 71,000 followers. I was honored with multiple social media and health and wellness influencer awards. In fact, just to remind myself, because I think it's always important, you and I are always talking about data, get the data. You know, you listen to people, and did this really happen? So I myself even sent you the links just to show you. I know you believe me and I'm your friend, but you know, it's important in this day and age getting the data. And so essentially what I believe happened is I just did a Mother's Day tweet. I think it was May 8th, wishing everyone a Mother's Day weekend and happy Mother's Day. And then all of a sudden my Twitter just got suspended. And the timing
for
was
wishing people a happy Mother's Day.
Yeah. Happy Mother's Day. It's almost happy Mother's Day again. It's only 1 year later. So it really was shocking because, you know, you hear about people where they, you know, accidentally get suspended or something happens, and then you just do what's called a Twitter appeal. And okay. I did do a Twitter appeal, but I did it probably greater than 15 times via email. But the timing of my Twitter going away was 24 hours after the man that I won the lawsuit against, the ex-NFL player, found out that I had buried the lawsuit on his wiki because he was using his name and his status and these sort of bogus charities to attract people for being, you know, defrauding them. So I had warned and helped many women. And by the way, thank you for being such a dear friend through this. We've done the Rocking a Betrayal series. I'm in the middle of a series now. But I believe that the timing of him finding out that the lawsuit was buried on his Wikipedia that would help warn others, 24 hours later, my Twitter goes missing. And if you can ask me questions, but when your Twitter goes missing, the current Twitter, not under Elon, is like, it's almost like the black hole where you don't get answers. They said something, they give you these broad reasons.
And what was the broad reason they cited?
You know what? Hold on a second. Let me look that up. Hold on. Oh, I just have this right at my top of my browser window because I'm having someone else that knows someone at Twitter. Prior to Elon, I was going to pull the old ask someone at Twitter. I was notified that I was permanently suspended on August 17th after doing those multiple appeals. And actually, I hadn't sent anything to the written office yet for multiple or severe violations of platform manipulation rules. By the way, no specifics were given to me. I had already requested a copy of all my tweets, retweeted them, reviewed them, and found no issues. I even then, Kathleen, I built a whole entire table of contents for Twitter showing my lawsuit, showing my awards, showing my tweets. My tweets were pristine. There wasn't anything. Well, I believe they were, you know, my perception. So all of a sudden you can have 42,000 tweets. You can have all these great connections on a social media platform. And then I, you know, I'm really proud of myself because I just said, you know what, the show must go on.
So, you know, you explain how you appealed 15 times. And, you know, when I was thinking about this, it was kind of Kafka-esque. It's like, wait a second, I'm in trouble for what? No explanation. Let me try again. Like, it was just like this down this dark rabbit hole of, What just happened?
Correct.
And so it's not just about Twitter or all of your hard work. It is about your hard work. But it's not just about there's something about not understanding that probably really takes a toll too.
Well, yeah, the bottom line is there's a feeling of violation when you have, I think that the, first of all, I feel very fortunate that I have multiple media platforms. I have Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn. I was given awards in my community. I represent the United States, the Dalai Lama, Body Mind Life Conference. So from a self-esteem standpoint, I was like, what is going on with Twitter? So, but there was this also mixed feelings of feeling violated. Like, and then I actually wrote in the table of contents, I literally appealed this May 8th, 2021, May 9th, 10th, 11th, 13th times two, 16th, 17th times two, 18th, 20th times 21 times three, 25, 27, 28, 29. Then I just gave up for June, had my birthday. Then July 13th, July 28th. And then I did on August 23rd, I typed out a 27-page outline and certified mailed it to Twitter, the actual headquarters. Never heard from them. No one ever gave me specific things about tweets. And, you know, I'm not going to sue Twitter. I already just took down a major sociopath that I've got a judgment against. I didn't get the money back, but I'm like, I don't have time for this. I'm going to just keep going with my Ascension Media mindset and keep giving great content. And you never know, you might get your Twitter back. You might not, but who cares in a way. And yeah. Then the joke was when, go ahead.
Oh, no, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Well, you have a hilarious tagline that you said that was.
Well, but first I want to explain to people what you were doing on Twitter. I mean, you were putting out mental wellness sunshine into the world. In fact, a mental health website named you one of the top 10 mental health influencers on Twitter. And they wrote about you saying, number eight, Dr. Denise McDermott, known as Dr. Denise on Twitter, is one of the more well-known names on the list. She is a California psychiatrist and has been around for as long as I can remember, tweeting out uplifting mental health content. She also shares personal videos to connect with her audience. We need more doctors doing what Dr. Denise does. And then for you to be
can I tell you when
yanked off, it's just, yeah. It's like, yeah.
Thank you. I'm actually getting, now you're right. You were so sweet before we recorded. Yeah, I have a little sadness about it because I was, you know, the amount of love and time. I believe that our words, thoughts, and actions are prayers. And so I believe that when I made the time to do this and also made the time to not go on some of their bigger platforms, meaning going almost like the regular old paradigm of the news and stuff, I wanted to be organic and I sure have accomplished that. And right. I think I was so organic that in my process, the irony of this is that the man who defrauded me, the ex-NFL player, and the reason why I'm not saying his name is because he's threatened my life or indirectly, there's been threats, I should say. And I literally don't need to give power to that, but I'm just telling you, he found me on Facebook. So the, you know, a lot of people, if they've had any sort of trauma in their life, sometimes just walk away. You'd be like, well, wait a second. You know, I just got all these different, even today I opened up my email with different job offers. You know, I'm making the choice to be a mother, a choice to be a doctor, then a choice to be a media influencer. And it takes your time. But yeah. I have such a strong faith in higher power that I believe everything happens and you learn and you use the alchemy of it. So I believe that it's almost like unbelievable news that Elon is taking over Twitter. And I know one of his passions from what the news reports, of course, I don't know him directly, is that he believes in freedom of speech. And I'm wondering if he's going to have a way to, if he's going to let people back on, or if he's just going to say, oh, you can start anew. And if that's the case, then I think different people have to make the decision. You know, when you have anything happen in your life where there's been cancel culture, social media, you know, I'm not alone. A lot of really positive influencers and people have had issues with different platforms where they too did not have a reason. So that's the thing that gave me a little comfort. I started looking up all the different people also that got sort of suspended or canceled on Twitter and they just didn't know why. But then for me, I felt extra violated because I felt like it had to do with the man that already defrauded me and found me on Facebook. So I felt incredibly violated.
I can imagine. I kept, you know, and it's that's the, I think that's the thing that maybe, you know, everyone listening to the podcast will understand, I would imagine, but like, you know, this is not, you're not, no one is separate from social media who uses it, right? You're like, oh, well, that's just my Twitter account, but you can see how it becomes woven into your life and how it impacts you psychologically and financially in many of the, you know, life's respects. And it's like a new, we haven't had hundreds of years to figure this out. And what are the boundaries and what are the guidelines and how is this going to work? And we're all figuring it out, but there's a lot on the line.
Yes. So do you have a question? Cause I have stuff to say, but I just want to make sure I listen to you.
Well, no, I just think that we, you know, this also illustrates the, your experience and the emotions illustrates the real staying power and, you know, power of social media. This is not something we shut off. It's not like the workday is over and we leave the office and we shut off the lights. I mean, this is something that's pinging on our bedstands and
well, I'm gonna be honest with you. The Earth game for me is like its own. I'm playing the universe game. So the way I look at this is I am here. I'm Dr. Denise. I know I can pinch myself and go, you're here. But the energy part of what I'm doing and the energy space, it's almost great. It's like I have another story, another badge of renegade. Like, okay, taking down dark energy. And you're fighting for other women and women empowerment and not letting other women get defrauded. And someone that I believe has access to sort of like the underground, the dark energy. And I'm actually almost relieved because when I'm in social circles with other entrepreneurs and other people that are doing influence in their world, there's times when people want you blocked. They don't want you speaking. They want to cancel you. They don't want your voice to be heard. And you know what? My voice is heard. I have multiple platforms now. This did not stop me. In fact, I use the energy of it. I did get sad at first, go through the normal, almost like the stages of death and dying. I mean, I'm human. I did get upset, but I know how to use that energy in a unique way.
So when I know you have a lot more to talk about, but one of the major things that I'm interested in is like, what's going to happen on Twitter next, right? So the Musk statement says free speech is the bedrock of a functioning democracy and Twitter is the digital town square where matters vital to the future of humanity are debated. I want to make Twitter better than ever by enhancing the product with open sourced algorithms to increase trust, defeating the spam bots, authenticating all humans. I look forward to working with the company and the community of users to unlock it. Here's my question though. You know, free speech, but wow. So everything gets to be put out there? I'm not saying that's good or bad. I just can't even fathom what that's going to look like.
Well, I am sure there's going to be parameters of safety. I think when I read that, that article that sort of spurred us doing this show spontaneously today, I think that safety is really important. And my concern is that they don't have the manpower with the amount of tweets coming in and situations, because look at, I never heard from a human being. I never got a specific response. Even when I think Elon Musk, I think it was in the headlines a couple of weeks ago, he went to the headquarters in Twitter and there was no one there. And that was like the joke. So I'm wondering what kind of infrastructure Elon's going to have that creates a platform or amplifies this platform to be used in a way that there is freedom of speech. But then I think one of the things that you and I are so passionate about is mindful ingestion and how people are aware we all have bias. So the question is, if there is sort of, you know, how there's like different cult type love bombing and ghosting and different behaviors that can go just almost like border threats, but not be actual threats, which I've experienced myself. It'll be interesting to see what this new form of Twitter, when he takes over, does for safety. Because there's a difference between freedom of speech and then like threatening behavior that's 911 behavior, right? And then there's gray, there's shades of gray because we all have our own unique neuro stuff, how we perceive that. Now, I read that Donald Trump, I don't know if this is true or not true. That's what I also want to say. And the article said he doesn't really feel like returning back to Twitter, that he's going to do it some other platter.
Right. That's been widely reported.
Truth, he's just like, right?
Yeah.
So yeah. I, for myself, if you told me after doing 42,000 tweets and getting all these awards, I need to start over on Twitter, I think that you and I, because we'll talk because I've got other opportunities coming, might just say, I might just do one statement on Twitter. Hi, I was hacked in May. I believe I was hacked in, you know, May of 2021. Please follow all my other platforms, Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, and my shows on 16 platforms. You know what I mean? Spotify, Pandora. I mean, I would just list all the other ways you can find me and say, yeah. I'm so grateful I had those 42,000 tweets and maybe put, you know what I mean? I think I'd just right. be found there, but I don't feel the need. And it would be if my tweets all got reinstated and my followers all came back, then I would be on it. But I don't think I'd use it that much because I have like this feeling. I think this is separate to do from Twitter. I think when someone's had any sort of what I call trauma, anything, whether you associate a building with trauma or a song or a family member. I'm not saying I would be afraid of Twitter. I just am not, I still have a poor taste in my mouth about the lack of integrity of the way they handled my specific situation where I even provided court cases. I said I was a social media influencer. They didn't look at the data. Now, if Twitter becomes this sensational new platform that everyone has to, then I'm going to have to weigh in how much I put my hat in the ring and what does that look like? But I'm not like, I think what I've also learned is to not get, it's like kind of the Buddhism non-attachment that if right. you know, in your core, whatever message you're doing out there on any platform, or let's say someone has been accused of something that's unimaginable that they didn't do, right? And they're sort of on trial. You have to surround yourself with your own inner circle, stay strong in your convictions, stay on your service path. So these are some tips I would give anyone, but I'm actually really curious to see what Elon's going to do. And then the other flip side of it is, do we really want someone that has that much control and that much power being the one? I mean, it's like, I just think about the level of influence that he already has in the universe. You know what I mean? And it would be anyone. I'm not against Elon. I think he's a brilliant man. I'm just saying we all have to look at the power dynamics and how much money buys things on planet Earth. I mean, it's the reality.
Yeah. I mean, I think I've heard a lot of scuttlebutt about that. I think what really kind of, and we've already covered it, but I just can't wrap my mind around is like, he's a free speech absolutist. So it's like, you know, I think a lot of us think that there is a line though, that, you know, you can't cross. And so it's, if everything's allowed, boy, that's going to be something.
Well, kind of sounds like the Wild Wild West, right?
It does. Yeah.
So that's the reason why I'm going to say that all of this just inspires me to stay true to my path and like, you know, service and humility and also giving back. I think the giving back component and, you know, I have a lot of compassion for, there's many people after this pandemic and then also what's going on with the war in Ukraine and that don't have food, shelter, clothing. And so sometimes I'm just
and
like,
we're worried about tweets.
Yeah. And, or they've had their life threatened or their power's going off or like they're like, I just, you know, I've talked to quite a few single parents that aren't in the unique situation that I am as a single mom where I work for myself. I know single moms whose dads like left town and I can relate to that part of someone just leaving town. Cause that's what happened during the pandemic, but they're still helping from a distance, but actually having the support system to actually make a living and then be there for your children. There's many children throughout the world that are being raised maybe by a single parent or in poverty that don't even know how they're going to get their next meal or they're not living in a safe place. So to me, sometimes, you know, I know we're here talking about Twitter and social media, but when you have people just trying to survive, you know, you figure, and then you hear 44 billion buying Twitter. And I just think of how all that money, like what else Elon could have done with that money. Like, you know what I mean? Why did he have to buy Twitter? So, and it's his choice. So I'm not against it. I'm just sort of freestyling talking. I mean, you can, I'm going to let you talk more now because I've said a lot during this chat.
Well, I mean, I think that I think it is interesting how you alchemize the situation. You know, it's like, you know, it's something that my grandparents would never understand. Wait, she got upset because she, you know, because this platform is so new, right? But you know, it I don't know, there's something about being banned too. Like, you know, it's really emotional. You can't, I mean, it goes back to almost childhood, right? Like, you can't come in our clubhouse. You're banned.
To me, Twitter's a joke, just to be honest with you. And I have, you know, I've done the strategic F-bomb, and I'm a proponent of using healthy profanity. So prior to even having this snafu with Twitter, like whatevs, I mean, they're going to get it back or not, but look what I've done. You know, I've built other platforms, but I have used, I've got this different profanity things. In fact, I'm going to have t-shirts made with the strategic F-bomb, unfuckwithable, don't fuck with my kindness, and it's all divinely fucked up perfect. So I do use the power of intentional profanity. And for me, unfuckwithable means the unimaginable can happen, but it doesn't, you can't touch my heart energy. You cannot touch my heart energy. So I think when someone's had any sort of cancel culture or feels violated when they're just sort of erased, then you have to look at your whole life and then use your coping strategies. But I still don't think it's right. When I saw the Elon Twitter thing, I had already put the Twitter situation in a compartment. And just 2 weeks ago, someone I know said they know someone at Twitter, and I sent them my 27-page thing. I haven't heard from them, but probably didn't hear from them because there's a takeover now, right? Because I was just seeing if an actual human being that worked at Twitter could help me or get the data. I don't have that data yet because it's only been automized.
Yeah, it's weird. Well, it's like a whole new world, right?
Well, you've been through my whole rocking a betrayal. So you sense that my situation might be more unique because there are other people who weren't, you know, their specific suspensions on Twitter's weren't timed 24 hours after someone found out that you were calling them out on their fraud. So every situation for suspension, you know, you would hope that any social media platform or corporation, if there's a complaint or something, that it would have data behind it. And, but there is corruption.
Like, this is the tweet. This is the message, right?
Yes. I never got that. Right. I got that you did multiple platform violations. And if you look, I have the most positive feed. I've gotten awards. So I know that my situation, I believe, is like, I don't know, dark energy, the underground. I think he paid someone for real. And this isn't paranoia. I mean, I have data. I had someone, you know, this individual called me on burner phones. So, you know, there's things that I don't talk about normally. You know what I mean? This is kind of a vulnerable, this is not the normal standard Dr. Denise talking on these shows. You see all my positive, but this is important. People need to know.
But, you know, people have this in their life when it's not social media. And so that's why we thought this was worth talking about on Staying Sane, because, you know, sometimes you're accused of something. I mean, I have this childhood, like, fear, like, and it's permeated I hate being falsely accused of something. And, you know, so this like really resonates with me. It's like, she was falsely accused, you know, and there's no recourse, but that can happen in familial situations, in the professional world. Mine happened when I was a little child in education. And so like,
what happened?
Oh, when I was in first grade, the teacher, made it big thing. I can't even believe I'm telling this story. Made this big thing about our first spelling test. And he like built it up and you must study and da, 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 da. And so I got really anxious about it. And then, you know, we went to take the test and he said the first word and I said, oh, this is easy. And he came over to my desk and he picked up my paper and he ripped it in pieces. You're cheating talking during the test. And
Oh my goodness.
Like, yeah. Yeah. I can, you know, remember it to this day. And I'm like, I can remember the teacher's name and I couldn't believe it. I wasn't cheating. I was just like relieved that I could do this, you know, but you're not supposed to talk. So that falsely accused, I can't watch TV shows when people are falsely accused. Just, you know, movie, like, ooh,
this is the first time. This is the first time that I'm hearing this. And it's so interesting when you are doing any sort of collaboration or have a friendship and you go vulnerable. I think one of the big things about On Staying Sane is that when we share our stories and we share our vulnerabilities and we share our suffering, watch and be amazed, we get closer to someone. And right when I heard you tell the story, then that's when it actually, I was almost distanced from my own feelings of how I felt. But I just had more empathy and compassion for you as a little six-year-old of being wrongly accused. And then I remembered when I opened up my Twitter that day last year, and it was Mother's Day weekend. It was my first time away, just staycation from the entire pandemic. And I was just having the happiest weekend. And I thought, don't let this ruin. But I felt really wronged. And I know you
falsely accused.
Falsely accused. And also the word justice. For me, justice, I asked the universe to have the highest level of justice happen in my situation with fraud. And it's happening. I mean, I have these outlets to talk about things, but it doesn't mean it still doesn't sting. And it also, I don't know about you. I mean, could you even relate to the teacher that could do that to a child? I mean, how mean?
No.
It's like a bully.
No.
When you think about, you know what I mean? Like, why is that person even teaching first grade?
I don't know. I don't know.
I give her the pink slip. Dr. Denise, give her the
pink slip. It was a he.
Oh, he.
It was a he. Mm-hmm.
So, Kathleen, do you, I know that this is kind of, we're here just talking. Do you, when I sort of broke down my, because Kathleen and I are continuing to do more shows together and build ideas. And from a brand strategy and Twitter, do you like my approach to it, that the way I'm thinking about it, given just today's information?
Yeah, I do, because I also would be very reluctant, as you are, to make this huge investment of time, talent, treasure, right? Like, you really put your heart into this, you open up, and then to have it, you know, be falsely taken from you. It just, I don't know that it's, you know, wouldn't
it's not
it be
a
wonderful?
Top priority. Twitter's not my
wouldn't
top
it be
priority.
Wonderful if you could revive that old account, you know?
It would, but I don't really know if I'd want to tweet. I guess it'd be easy because I'm doing Instagram and Facebook and I can just do that, those systems where they all go on the same platform a little bit. So I'm not gonna, I mean, of course, from a pure linear business standpoint, why not? But I wouldn't have that sense of pride. I was so proudful of giving such lovely tweets, but hey, this is where I think we all need to be open-minded. If there's a new boss in town or a new energy in town and a new algorithm in town, I'm going to be open to it, but I'm going into it with trepidation. And I'm going into all social media with that level of trepidation. I mean, if this could happen to me on Twitter, someone could make up something on Instagram or Facebook or anything. And so that's why I think having these media discussions and having people have sovereignty over their own mind space, sovereignty over what they can control, and making sure that you know that your words, thoughts, and actions do make a difference. We're all in this earth game together. And any given day on earth/Armageddon is, how do we stay sane? I mean, I'm right there with everyone. Right. So I sometimes think you see these like happy photos and we don't talk about the tough stuff, and there's tough stuff that happens for all of us. And so I hope sharing this story today gives people sort of a sense of camaraderie that there's things that are unjust that happen to all of us. And we need to kind of take inventory of what our real priorities are.
Yeah. Thanks, Denise, for sharing.
Oh, thank you. And thanks for being mindful before we did the show. You thought I might get upset. So I appreciate, because you've seen me go through things. So thank you for your thoughtfulness and the way you're interacting with me. I really appreciate you.
I hope everyone is thoughtful and kind on the new Twitter. That's what I want to say.
And if they're not, I hope that the people that can call them out on it can do it in a way that puts them in their place in what I call a spiritual chokehold.
Or maybe just teaches them a thing or two about kindness.
Well, yes, but that's what a spiritual chokehold is. Let me define so it doesn't sound like I end on this like threat. My spiritual chokehold is when you don't give power and you give neutrality and dissipate. So if someone's wronged you, I imagine them like kind of up against the wall, but in that wrap paper with their faces and then their feet dangling so that they don't have any power of interaction. So I think the other thing too is if people are unkind to you or disrespectful, just go closer to your own inner circle and find your way in your mind of putting them in a spiritual timeout. I think that's a nicer way to say that. The chokehold's fun though when you're angry, just like the F-bomb's fun. So you kind of have to have a little edginess. So thank you, Kat.
You're welcome. Bye, guys.